Romans. I want you to go to chapter 5 here. Romans chapter 5. Romans is a great doctrinal book. All the cardinal doctrines to the body of Christ you find in the book of Romans. You find salvation, you find glorification, justification, sanctification, all the major doctrines in the book of Romans. I trust if somebody gets saved and they ask me what book I think, I always recommend Romans. You ought to have a good grip on Romans. 16 chapters in the book of Romans. That's a great doctrinal book. All the books, Romans through Philemon, is great, but for people wanting to be established and grounded and doctrinally, the book of Romans is where you would begin. I've had people say, well, the book of John. No, it won't work. Book of Romans. Just stay with Paul. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. Romans 5:19. Now go back and get the context. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, that one man would be Adam. Adam disobeyed God. Adam rebelled against God's authority and took of the fruit. He said thereby, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, be magnified, brought to light, so to speak. He said the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, magnified, grew, where sin abounded. Not sins, sin. The root cause of all sins is sin. And that sin is what you got from Adam. And we call it the sin nature. He says there, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, we call what the day we're living in the dispensation of grace. And grace today is reigning. And what does that mean? No matter how bad this world gets, no matter how bad a person gets, I don't care what they've done, I don't care where they come from, they can never get so bad that God can't save them. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, sin is reigning in people's lives today because they choose it. Do you know why I know that? They die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now look what he said, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. What shall we say then? In the light of what I just read to you, Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, let us sin because God grace abounds. Shall we continue in sin so grace can abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? you're dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? His death. Whose death did you partake of? Christ's death. Baptism is identification. God identified you. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, that's that sin, that our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin, we talk about the body of evidence, we talk about all that, the body of sin, everything that was against us, he said, might be what? Destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, the old man. For he that is dead is freed from sin, that old nature. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death have no more dominion over him. And if it don't have any dominion over him, does it have dominion over you? No, it don't. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Now here it is. Likewise, like what's in verse 10. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Why? Because Christ was died. He was dead. He said in verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Don't you get it? Everything that happened to Christ in God's eyes happened to you that believe. Now, you can't get much simpler than that. Christ, death was your death. Christ, burial was your burial. Christ, resurrection was your resurrection. Just as Christ is alive unto God, what about you? Well, let's look at it. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, that old man, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, that old man, therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, that old man, that old nature, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, Are you alive from the dead? Yes, you are. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, shouldn't rule over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Ain't that what they say? Well, if I believe that, I'd just go out and do anything. Yeah, you ever heard that? That's what verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin, that old nature, unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made freed from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And verse 20, for when we were the servants of sin, that old nature, ye were freed from righteousness. Now you look at all these things, and the context keeps going on into the chapter 7, and how that talking about we're dead to the law, and by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look over in chapter 7 in verse, I'm just going to say verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, folks, the whole deal is lust. And that old man and that lust is covetousness. Do you know why people won't serve the Lord when they're saved? Because they covet the things of the flesh. They desire other things. People do what they want to do. People go where they want to go. People say what they want to say. People don't choose. Look at this thing about lust. Come over with me to James. Hang on to Romans and look in James. Chapter 1. James chapter 1. And by the way, James is written to the 12 tribes of Israel. Very aware of that. But there's a principle in James that's true in human nature. Look in James chapter 1 in verse 15. James chapter 1 verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, well, what's lust? What I just read in Romans, Paul said lust. I had known no lust except the law had said thou shalt not covet. Idolatry is covetousness. We'll look at that in a moment, but verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. It magnifies sin. It bringeth forth sin. And when sin it is finished, bringeth forth death. My old man that I am still covets things. You do too. Now you know I've used that illustration. You go down there and you go down to a car lot. Now, if they had them old cars sitting out there and they was all dirty and filthy and muddy and everything, I mean, you wouldn't give them time of day, now, would you? But they got them things cleaned up and they're shining. They got light shining on them things, and you say, boy, oh, Lord, I want that bad. They're smart enough to know that you're going to covet their car That's the old man. That's the thing that we are. We lust after things. Look in Timothy. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And our walk of life, that old man goes through its life, and our life, we are covered in everything except the things of the Lord. I mean, folks, when you get saved, there's a change that takes place. What? You become alive unto God. Just as Christ is alive unto God, so are you. And you have a new nature in you, a new man in you, and that new man covets the things of the Lord. That's why there's a battle. That's why there's a struggle. Look in Timothy. In Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Or I'll go back and read verse 9. You know, I really need to go back and read verse 7. Verse 7 says, "But we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Right? There ain't nothing you're going to carry into the next world. It reminds me of, anyway. Verse 8, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith," with food and raiment, what? "Content." Ain't nobody in here is content with food and raiment. Huh? You should be. You should strive to be. Verse 9. "But they that will," there's that will, that desire. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the," what? "Love," that love there, that desire, that lust, "for the lust of money is the root of all evil, which while some," what? There it is, buddy. Can't get around it. "Covet after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Folks, he's talking to saved people. Verse 7 says, "They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." There's many members of the body of Christ that's fell in that category. Why? They began to covet. They began to lust after the money and wealth and fame or power or whatever. And they dry up spiritually. And they no longer are alive unto God as a member of the body of Christ. But they are alive under their own lust and entice and their own destruction. So I don't like this. Well, I don't care. Look over with me to Galatians. Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, I'm going to get to the message here in a minute. This is just groundwork. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, he said, "This I say then, walk in the," see that capital S, "Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Well, where is the Spirit of God at in you? He's in you, isn't he? For, verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, and so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It's a problem. Why? That old man has his desires and his lust, and he wants to serve himself. He wants to do the things that pleases him. And then the new man has desires, and they struggle against each other in Christian walk of life, and they hinder and they bother people. But God said we ought to be alive unto him. You know your old flesh would love laid up in bed this morning instead of getting up and coming to church. Now be honest. You know you'd rather be going to the mountains instead of here. Going to the beach instead of here. Huh? I mean, really. That's your flesh. I mean, we lust after the things that brings pleasure, because we never want to suffer. And there is suffering if you follow the Lord. One other thing. Turn to Philippians. Philippians. And notice in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In verse, let's read, I'm just going to start in verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now watch verse 10 here. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, that conformable is like being in harmony with. It's his death, but it's your death. If by any means I may obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now wait a minute. Paul already knew he was going to be in the resurrection. He already knew the Lord was coming back, going to change these vile bodies. He already knew that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He already knew that. Well, what's he talking about? That I might, by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though, verse 12, not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He wanted to take it's a mental clear understanding to take hold of this doctrine. What is Paul saying? Well, let's just read on for a moment. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended of the resurrection. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, let us therefore as many be perfect, mature, full grown, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as we have us for an example. Now, the whole thing in a nutshell is, to simplify them verses, Paul wanted to live as though he was already resurrected. His life, he wanted to live a life as though he was resurrected, as he will live in the resurrection. And he strived for that, but he said, I can't get there. Why? Come on down with me. He said in verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Folks, this old body hinders us. It lusts after things that are contrary to what the Spirit would have us to do. But one thing is for certain. When you trust Christ as your Savior, there is a new man that's created in you. You have the nature of Christ in you. You have the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God is inside you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And the Spirit of Christ will want you and change your mind, your attitude toward the Lord. And you'll want to, your desire will be to honor him and to glorify him. And you'll respect the Lord. And you'll respect him. His word, and you'll want people to hear this book, and you'll want people to understand this book, and you'll want people to get saved and have what you have. And if you don't have that desire, then I'd check up and see whether I'd ever been saved or not. I'm not talking about how you live. I'm talking about your attitude. I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about you. You are alive unto God now when once you were dead. What is a sinner out here? He's dead to God. He doesn't care about the things of God. He doesn't care about church. He doesn't think about church. He doesn't think about God. He doesn't think about nothing. I want you to understand, when you get saved, your attitude changes. Your look on life changes. Everything changes. Why? You become alive unto God, and you have a desire to serve him that you never had before. And once you start losing, you get weak. And the more you stay out, the easier it is to stay out. The more you stop reading, the easier it is not to pick it up. The more you quit praying, the easier it is not to pray. And before you know it, you're asleep. Not dead, asleep. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Folks, I'm talking about reigning. I'm talking about having dominion over you. Sin one time had dominion over us. Sin one time reigned over us. All we could think about was our flesh. All we wanted to please was our flesh. But once we saw that we were sinners, we saw that Christ went to that cross. And what a great message it is. It's the good, glorious gospel of Christ. It's glorious to see what Christ really done. He went to a cross. Do you understand? And he on that cross, your sins. He's dying for your sins. All of your sins was put on him. There on that cross, hanging between heaven and earth, God judged you as he's judging his son. God poured his wrath out on his son. And his son, the virgin-born son, sinless son of Almighty God, died on that cross for you. And when you put your trust, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. You can't get good enough to please God. There's only one man that ever walked in shoe leather that God looked at and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He never did anything wrong. He never had an evil thought. He never said a bad word. We do. I've smashed my finger before and you wouldn't want to be around it. Say, well, you're a bad man. I am. I'm bad to the bone. I've said things that's wrong, done things that's wrong. He didn't. He never had a misspoke word. He never had an evil thought. No sin was there. He looked at that crowd that thought they were so holy and righteous, and he said, which of you convinces me of sin? And they brought that woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And said, Moses said, you ought to be stoned. There God's Son, the holy, righteous Son of Almighty God, stoops down and writes in the sand. Say what he wrote. He probably wrote Leviticus. I forget the chapter. But you know what the verse says? The law. The man and the woman shall be brought. They only brought the woman. But the law says both of them should come and both of them should be stoned. But they just brought the woman. And they said, what says it? He reaches down and he writes again. No doubt the law. And then he looks at them and he said, which of you without sin? Let him cast the first stone. And you know what happened when he said that? They begin to back away. Till all of them was gone. And the Lord looks up and says, where are thine accusers? And they were all gone. You know what that tells me? They were the man. They were guilty. The Bible says they were convicted. And they began to back away. And he says to the woman, where are thine accusers? She said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's my Lord. And there he goes. There's the one that reached down and spit in some dirt and rubbed it in dirt and put it in a man's eye. You know what the Lord did? He made that man that was born blind, he made him eyeballs and put them in the socket, and there he was. Here's the man that had a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years that she spent all of her living and she couldn't get healed. And she said, oh, but if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And the Lord comes walking by and she struggles and gets in there and she just touched his garment. And the Lord stops and said, who touched me? And the disciples looked at him like, you crazy. Lord, don't. People won't think you're crazy. You asked who touched you. All this crowd around you and they're bumping into you and you asked who's touching you. He said, somebody touched me. For virtue has gone out of me. And that woman come up trembling and said, it was I. There's the one that walked on the water, that calmed the storms. That's the one. that a man had a withered hand dried up and he made it whole. You don't see healing like that today. That's healing. What goes on today is a bunch of con artists out there ripping people off and stealing their hard-earned money. And I hope and pray to God none of you are caught up in that garbage. But there he is. No sin. Lived the perfect life under the law. And he goes to a cross. And there he dies. They nail him into the hands, in his spikes in his hands and in his feet. And he's hung up there between heaven and earth. And he cries out and says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why. Turn over to Psalms and look in Psalms chapter 7. This is our Savior, folks. We are alive unto Him. What we have today, our life, our being, the material things that we give. Do you know that David said, everything I give, Lord, to you as an offering is already yours? I mean, we think we're doing something. We put an offering plate and you put the money in. The money you put in is the Lord's anyway. And we give back to Him for cause of so much that He's gave for us. We are alive unto Him today. So much of us turn. But look at this in Psalms, verse 11. God judges the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. You see that? If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He has spent his bow. He made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth and with iniquity, traveleth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. But look down in verse 11 or 12. If he turn not, what's going to happen? He's got his sword. It's going to bring death. Going to bring wrath. When did God turn? He turned at the cross. God turned his back. Why hast thou forsaken me? God had to turn his back upon his son because his son became sin. His son became the unrighteous person that you are. His son became what I am. And his son died my death. His son took my punishment. His son took your punishment, died your death, and God judged you when he judged Jesus. Thank God I'm saved because of what Christ did on the cross. You can't get saved by joining a church. You can't get saved by being baptized. That ain't going to do nothing but get you wet. You can't get saved by doing the Lord's Supper, as they call it, and taking a wafer and thinking that that wafer's going to do something, or drinking Welch's grape juice and all of that stuff that people do in the name of religion. And actually, folks, that ain't going to make you righteous. What'll make you righteous? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept His righteousness for your unrighteousness. He bore your unrighteousness, and He's offering you righteousness. He took your death, and He offers you life. He took your sin and he offers you righteousness. Thank God for Jesus Christ today, folks. You're saved not because you come to Charity Bible Church. You're saved not because you give something in the offering plate. I mean, if I had to get you saved, a lot of us be lost. Some of you never give anything. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. But anyway, that's true. It's not in that. It's not in turning over a new leaf. It's not in living a good, clean life. What is it? It's trusting that Jesus Christ died for your sins on an old rugged cross and was buried, and God raised him the third day for your justification. You see, the death was your payment. The burial was the deposit. The resurrection is your receipt that God accepted the payment. I can never be lost again. Why? I'm in Christ. God don't see me in myself. God don't see old Brian that I am. God don't see the old man that I am. I'm alive unto Him in Christ. God sees me as a new creature. Look back with me in Galatians, and I'm on a close. This is one of those you can't get done with it. You just have to quit. But look at Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, notice what he says. He said, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus," now here it is, "circumcision availeth anything, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." What availeth something but a new creature? I'm in the new creature. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." And somebody say, "Well, let me tell you, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You pass from death unto life. You have eternal life. Not yours, His." And God can never say, "I never knew you," if you've ever trusted Him, because He knows them that are His. Aren't you glad for that? Romans chapter 13, I'm going to close. I said that, I just keep saying. Paul said, "Finally, brethren," he was halfway through the book of Philippians. So, "finally, brethren." Romans 13. Don't be asleep. Wake up. Wake up to the things of God. Wake up to what Christ has done for you. Verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." That salvation is not soul salvation. That's salvation, the redemption of your body. That's what's going to happen when the Lord comes. We're closer today than we've ever been. And he said, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness as you see on television." That's what's going on. That's wicked, lost people out there that's fulfilling the desires of their flesh. I don't care who it is. "Not in chamberlain and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That's the covetousness of the flesh. It desires. Paul said, don't make provisions for that. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be alive unto Him. And wake up to what He's done for you. You know, I read an article about, I believe it was President Kennedy. And if I'm wrong, you historians, correct me. But I think he said, if I remember the article, it's been a while since I wrote it, one of his speeches, ask not what thy country can do for you, but how's it go? Ask what you can do for your country and something like that. I was thinking about that. That's what Christians ought to do. Well, not be asked in what the Lord can do for us, but Lord, what can we do for you? Isn't He done enough? Hadn't He done enough? I mean, folks, you're in the dispensation of grace. God's not angry with the world today. Why? He turned. He turned at the cross. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God not holding the world accountable for their sins today. He had held Jesus Christ accountable. God not angry with you. God loved you. And He commended His love and showed you how much He loved you. He gave His only Son for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Would you stand with me? Would you bow your heads? And folks, if you're here and you've never been saved, why don't you just trust Christ right now? You don't have to get up and go nowhere. You don't have to say nothing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, believe what? Believe that He died for you. Believe that He was put in a ground, a tomb, and believe that God raised Him for your justification. All your sins is took care of. You reject Jesus Christ, your unbelief is what's going to send you to hell. Your unbelief. Will you believe it? Father, we pray today. We thank You for the Word of God You've given us. We thank You for each one that's came here today. Lord, I pray that the body of Christ would wake up and, Lord, become as You want them to be, alive and unto You. And, Lord, striving to live the resurrected life. Although, Lord, we're in a body of flesh that's going to hinder us and keep us from it, God, I pray that they'll see their need to get the gospel out to help others. Then, Lord, I pray for those that might be here that's lost. Lord, I don't know nobody's heart. But Father, if there's anybody here that's never in their lifetime seen themselves as a sinner, help them to see that today. Help them to see that they were born in sin. They have a sinful nature about them. And help them to see that nothing that they can do can change that. And help them to see that You died for their sins. And You became what they are. And now, Lord, all they need to do is trust what You did for them on the cross. Lord, everything is accomplished. We'll give You the praise for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Shake hands with one another and you have liberty to go.